5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen of the AFN, this is the White House in Washington calling. I present the President of the United States.
I appreciate this opportunity to extend my greetings and best wishes to the Convention of the Alaska Federation of Natives. I want you to be among the first to know that I have just signed the Native Claim Settlement Act. This is a milestone in Alaska's history.
The corporate whale, ANCSA, the first 10 years.
The Reverend Mercurlia from St. George Island.
This land of Alaska, which thou gave to our ancestors who had come and gone before us, is now being handed to us a second time by the act of the United States Congress and our untiring efforts. A second chance is given to us by thee to be the new custodians and caretakers.
On December 16, 1981, several hundred Indian, Eskimo, and Aleut leaders gathered in a university cafeteria in Anchorage, Alaska, to consider the Alaska Native Land Claim Settlement Act, ANCSA. For 3 days, they met and discussed the bill, a bill that offered compensation of nearly $500 million and close to one-ninth of the state's total land in exchange for relinquishing all further Aboriginal claims to that land. The dollar amount and the vastness of the territory impressed many. Some predicted that Alaska Natives would become the sheiks of the North, comparing the imminent financial windfall and potential gain for resource development with the Middle East. Others, especially residents of Alaska's oil-rich Arctic slope, felt the settlement was not a just exchange for claims to land that their ancestors occupied and used from, as they said, time immemorial. Now, 10 years after convention delegates agreed to the bill hammered out by Congress and its signing into law by President Richard Nixon on December 18, 1971, Alaska's natives have received the money, but are custodians and caretakers of less than one-half of the expected lands. This 10-part series, The Corporate Whale, we'll listen to some of the events leading to the land claim settlement, the mechanisms that were employed to manage the act, government agencies and native corporations, hear how leaders assessed the first 10 years, and predictions for 1991.
We're sailing towards the future, we're anchored in the past. Rich in our tradition, our way will surely last.
In 1971, the year ANCSA became law, Alaska was represented in Congress by the late Nick Begich in the House and Mike Revelle and Ted Stevens in the Senate.
You know, Ted Stevens, and I'm still a United States Senator. I think one of the key questions was the amount of land in the settlement. In the beginning, that had been listed at about 10, 11 million acres, and there were a series of Native leaders involved at that time who were insisting that there had to be 40 million acres at least. And members of the House and the Senate of both political parties kept saying, you know, here, you people must come up with a state recommendation on these various issues, and we're not going to decide whether the state of Alaska is right or the Native groups through the AFN or the members of Congress. Or you just cannot present this case to us for a settlement, a unique legislative settlement, without some unanimity. And we finally did get together and worked out a series of positions which reflected, a fairly unified approach, and that was when the bill finally moved.
Willie Hensley is now president of Nana Development Corporation, a Native corporation subsidiary, and chairman of a Native-owned bank, United Bank Alaska. He has been a state legislator and president of the Alaska Federation of Natives, and has been very active lobbying Congress in Washington, D.C.
We had a lot of trouble with the ideas that were involved in the approaches that Congress was trying to impose, because frankly they wanted to make the settlement like a sieve. You know, that is, you pour all the land and money up here in this big funnel, and all of a sudden, swoosh, it's passed out throughout the society and basically again into non-native hands through business.
Business interests were in fact powerful influences in moving Congress and the executive branch toward a settlement. In 1968, ARCO announced that significant amounts of oil had been discovered on the North Slope, on lands traditionally used by the Inupiaq Eskimos. On December 17, 1971, Joe Upickson of Barrow, president of the Arctic Slope Native Association, addressed the delegates assembled in Anchorage.
The Congress is making this settlement for just one reason, because the oil of the North Slope is owned by the Inupiat Eskimos of the Arctic Slope. As it turns out, the pressure of the pipeline simply has required the Congress to move.
Don Wright, president of the Alaska Federation of Natives and lobbyist for the settlement, wanted to capitalize on that congressional movement. He knew the long history, the years of struggle to obtain that document. He knew that the Arctic Slope would not accept its conditions, and Congress and the president were waiting to hear from the delegates, many of them having their first close look at ANCSA's 29 crowded pages.
The Congress of the United States has acted on a piece of legislation that will make history not only for the state of Alaska, but for the United States and for the world. To the best of my knowledge, a land transaction such as this has never taken place anywhere in the world before. It's been the history of most nations to deal in total with other nations, each recognizing sovereignty that was gained by force of arms. The Congress of the United States at this time has truly recognized Aboriginal title that is vested in you people and left to you as an inheritance by your forefathers. Some of us individually may have thoughts about the fairness of this legislation. Some of us, no doubt, are not satisfied totally. The wording in this document is very complex and difficult. It says things that will be interpreted by lawyers in different ways. It was intended to be a total settlement.
Oh, right here. Wales?
Here.
Teller?
Yeah.
Breivik?
Here.
The room was divided into 13 areas, corresponding to the 12 regional corporations set out in the Act, plus the potential 13th regional corporation for Alaska Natives living outside of the state. The groups caucused, discussing pros and cons in the vote they would cast, votes that could prompt a presidential veto and more years of claiming, not getting, title to land.
There are some things, you know, granted, that we don't like about it, that we would rather have both on the Senate and the House side, but the fact of the matter is that we have to live with this bill, peacefully. And I personally wouldn't want to take the chance of having the bill go through Congress again.
My recommendation would be, based on everything we have heard, that we go ahead and prepare to accept, and that we also, as a part of this recommendation, start to line out the improvements that we want to make in the bill. And obviously, the bill requires some clarifications, some improvements, and I'm the first to concede we're not perfectly happy with the bill.
I'm George Miller. I represent the Cook Inlet region, the biggest city, Indian village in Alaska, Anchorage, Kenai, Tyonik, Nanilchik, Iliamna, Seldovia, and the region of Cook Inlet recommends the signature of the President of the United States to sign the bill.
Are there any other regional chairmen that wish to comment?
My name is Cecil Barnes. I represent Region 11, the Chugach Native Association. And it is a recommendation of the delegation of the Chugach Native Association that the president sign the bill into law.
Are there any other regions that wish to speak? Tenino Chiefs?
The general feeling of region after region was that while the Alaska Native Land Claims Settlement Act was an imperfect instrument, it could be worked with and fine-tuned later. Amidst all the positive sentiment, an elderly Tlingit man came to the podium, William Paul Sr., attorney and first Native member of the Territorial House of Representatives.
My theme right now is this. As I said long time ago, the land is ours. What are you afraid of? Now we've gone through a struggle, and it seems to be terminating at this time. And it seems to me that you are going to approve of this. But I want to tell you today that you ought not to be guided by your fear. The United States Congress admits that we have a legal right to the land. It is ours. In order to satisfy our legal rights, they are offering us the turkey buzzard.
How come you shut me up as if I wasn't there? But this new bitterness you found, however wronged you, however deep the hurt, it wasn't me that held you down.
Would the secretary please read the motion?
Motion made by Kim Wallace is to recommend that the president's signature be put on to the land claims bill, and was seconded by Harvey
Samuelson. The question was called last evening, and we're to take the vote at this time. So the secretary will call the roll. A yes vote will be approving for the President of the United States to sign the bill into law.
This will be a yes or no vote. Clinkett and Haida, AMD.
Central Council of Southeast Alaska votes yes.
Central Council Southeast Alaska votes yes. Tananaw Chiefs, Fairbanks Native Association.
The Tananaw Chiefs, Fairbanks Native Association votes yes.
Tananaw Chiefs, Fairbanks Native Association votes yes. Arctic Slope.
No.
Arctic Slope votes no. Kotzebue, NANA.
Yes.
Kotzebue, NANA votes yes. Tyonic. Tyonic votes yes. Washington Chapter. Washington Chapter votes no. The total number of votes is 567. A total of 511 yes and 56 no.
With only the Arctic Slope and Washington regions dissenting, the delegates to the December 1971 Alaska Federation of Natives Convention overwhelmingly accepted Public Law 92-203. AFN President Don Wright.
We're starting on a new era, the post-settlement era.
You have been listening to the corporate whale, ANCSA, the first 10 years, the first program in a 10-part series written and produced by Karen Michelle McPherson with technical assistance from Phil Falkowski. Funding was provided by KUAC sponsors and the Alaska Native Human Resources Development Program of the Cooperative Extension Service of the University of Alaska. Special thanks to the historical tape collection of the University of Alaska Archives and musicians Herbie Vent, Buddy Tabor, and Fred Westerman. Cassette copies of this program are available for $5 from Educational Media Services, Star Route, Box 20155, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99701.